Okay. So first, to thank Jackie Schlanger for sponsoring today's shiur. Apparently, it's the 467th time in a row that he's laying Parshas Vayera. This is some kind of world record.
No, but do the math, Ellie. What does it imply?
I'm afraid to do it. It implies that you're more than 60. That's for sure.
Yes. It implies, you know, there's an old Chassidus Sheminig that on your 70th birthday, it's a personal yontif for you, and you don't have to say tachnun.
Well, the one thing I know is that you're not a person.
My luck is that the birthday comes out on Shabbos. So I anyway don't say tachnun.
Okay, the idea that you would keep a Chassidus Sheminig is so offensive to me.
Yeah, Jack, it blows my mind.
All right. The Geula must be around the corner.
Mazel tov.
Okay. The topic today, based on the parsha, is Hachnasas Orchim, or as I say, Hachnasat Orchim. We'll start like this. Sometimes halachic concepts are so clear that, like, looking for a source is silly, because it's more than a halacha, it's a value. And I think just for starters, it's so obvious with respect to Hachnasas Orchim that, again, we'll talk halacha, but it's almost secondary. I don't mean to sound not from, but, you know, the fact that we watch Avraham do Hachnasas Orchim, it's interesting. Avraham doing something doesn't make it a halacha, but it makes it a value. Right, all of Sefer Bereishis, you know, are values that we learn from the Avos. So just for starters, because, you know, we've all read the Parsha, you know, I haven't read it as many times as Jackie, but a lot of times. And I just want to, you know, when I read it this time, you know, when you learn Bereishis, a lot of the conversations are around, why does the Torah spend so much time on this? Why does the Torah spend so much time on that? Look at this story at the beginning of the parsha. Vayera ilav Hashem be'elo ne'mamre v'hu yoshev petach ha'al kachom ayom. Okay, Avram's resting. All the mamare chazal about it being the third day after Bris Milah. Vayisa einav vayar v'hinei shelosha anashim nitzavim alav. He sees three people. Vayar vayaratz likratam mipetach ha'al v'ishtach ha'artza. Right, the verb vayaratz, assuming, you know, that Avram is in pain, assuming, now we know for a fact, Avram is 99 years old. It's not just that he sees people. He actually runs to greet them. Vayomar, and this is a tough word. We'll say Adoshem. We'll see in a few minutes. It's a big machlokas, whether this is like Adonai in Hebrew, my master, or it's the Shem Hashem. That will matter, but okay. So Avram runs out and tells them, please come in. Yukachna, please take ma'at maim v'rachatzu raglechem v'hisha'anu tachat ha'etz. He sounds almost desperate to get them as guests. He gives them a place to rest. Ve'echaf aslechem v'sa'adu libchem achar ta'avoru ki alken avartem alavdechem. Please take some food. Only then should you leave. Vayamru kein ta'aseh kashedibarta. And then you see again, Vayimaher Avraham Ha'ohela El Sarah. He's like a frenzy of activity, right? Now he's rushing into the tent. Vayomer Mahari says to her, hurry. Shlosh Sim Kemach Solas Lushi Vasiu, go, you know, prepare these things. Ve'ela Bakar Rots Avraham. Again, he's running. Vayikach Ben Bakar Rach Vato Vayitain Lana Vayimaher La Asototo. Again, it's like he's so desperate to have these people served. He's standing there serving them. He's like the waiter. Now you think, how many options do these people have? You know, they're walking in the desert. It's some very hot day. You can't help but feel the Torah is trying to emphasize for us, you know, Avram's excitement over this mitzvah. It's not just, I could have done it in a pasuk. There were guests, and Avram invited them in because he believes in Hachnasas Orchim. But here, you know, you, one pasuk after another, you get the feeling, or at least I get the feeling, that the Torah is trying to emphasize not just that there's a mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim, and not just that Avram Avinu did Hachnasas Orchim, but he did it with like such excitement. It, you know, I just think this is one of these times where there are so many psukim And the psukim serve the purpose of just telling us what a value hachnasas orchim is in halacha. Okay, let's go back to pasuk gimel, where it says, "Vayomar," you know, Adoshem, or my masters. That's going to tell us exactly what's going on in this parsha. Again, the two possibilities are the simple reading. Avraham said to, let's say, the lead, the main person of the three, you know, im matzati chen beinecha, don't leave, please come in. The other possibility, which is really kind of a, it's not the plain reading, but it's quite an interesting idea, is no, it's the Shem Hashem. He said to Hashem, please wait, I have to take care of these guests. After I'm done with the guests, I'll return to you. So it sounds crazy that that could be pshat, but that's the Gemara. Source number two. Says the Gemara, Gidola hachnasat orchim mehakbalat pnei ashchina. Welcoming guests is more important than welcoming the Shechina. Dichsiv vayomer Hashem, and then he has the word in brackets, right? Adoshem, imna matzati chein beinach alnot tavor me'al abdecha. And the reading in the Gemara is clearly that that word, aleph, dalet, nun, yud, in Pasuk Gimel, is the Shem Hashem. And then Avram was talking to God, and he said, please wait. Amar Abalazar, bo ure, shelo kimidas hakadosh baruch hu midat basar vadam. That man and God are completely different. In what way? Obviously they are. In what way? Midat basar vadam, ein katan yochal lomar legadol hamtein ad shavo etzlecha. If you're dealing in human beings, so you can't tell somebody much more important than you, wait, I'll get there when I get there. Ve'ilu b'hakadosh baruch hu k'tiv, Hashem imna matzati chein b'necha, al not ta'avor me'al abdecha. And it turns out, in an unrelated halacha, the Rambam paskins this way. In source number three, in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, Perek Vav, the Rambam says, Kol Hashemos ha'amurim ba'avraham kodesh. Every time Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is used in a story about Avraham, it means God. Abzeh, Shenemar, Hashem, Imna, Matzati, Chein, Beinecha, Harehu, Kodesh. So now we have, I would say, not just a potential source in halacha for the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim, we have something much more than that. It's not that the Gemara says there's a mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. The Gemara says the mitzvah, the Gemara takes for granted, the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim is so important that it trumps the mitzvah of greeting God. Now, to me, perhaps this is the real halachic source. I'll keep making this point over and again. I don't think we need a halachic source. But if I ask myself, how could it be that welcoming guests, and in this case, the understanding is guests who you assume, you know, to be just regular Gentile travelers or Ovdei Avodah Zarah, how could it be that that's more important than welcoming God? The only answer I could come up with is because God wants you to welcome guests. Otherwise, it would be incredibly disrespectful of God, right? Nobody thinks guests are more important than God. But the Gemara says that Hachnasas Orchim is more important than welcoming God. And my assumption is the only way that could be true is because we know that it's God who wants us to welcome guests. So said a different way, it's not disrespectful to God to welcome guests first. It's very similar to a situation, I don't know, you're taking care of your parents and your parents ask you to go, you know, take care of a guest. It's not disrespectful to your parents. You're doing their will by taking care of the guests. So too, my assumption is Avraham is doing God's will. And when the Gemara says, Gidola hachnasat archim mehakbalat pnei ashchina, it means because God wants us to take care of guests. Okay. Now, let's go to the halachic part.
Excuse me, Ali, could you just close the tris? We have a lot of glare from the tris.
People look at me. I thought it was the substance of the shear. All right. Okay, I could do it. Is that not helpful? Still not? All right, what about now? All right. It's as good as I could do. I'm sorry.
Better. Thank you.
Okay. Let's turn to the halachic part and ask a basic question. Where does hachnasas orchim fit in to the halachic system? So when you ask that question, you start with the fundamental question of, is it a d'oraisa or is it a d'rabbanan? And it shouldn't surprise anybody to find out that hachnasas orchim is not in Taryag mitzvos, and therefore almost everybody sees it as a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But as we're going to see, it's not that simple. Okay, let's start with the Rambam in source number 4 in Hilchos Avel, Perek Yudalet Halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam.
Eli, why would you just consider it like one of the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And
you might, but let's start at the beginning. The Rambam may get there, but not yet. In Hilchos Avel, the Rambam says as follows. Mitzvat asei shel divrehem. We all know the Rambam says the word divrehem in the Rambam means drabanan. So the Rambam says, I'm going to give you a list of mitzvot drabanan. Levaker cholim, lenachem aveilim, lahotzi hameit, ulahachnis hakala, right? So bikur cholim, nichum aveilim, helping take a body out, helping a kala get married, ulilavot ha'orchim. We'll come back to if there's a difference between hachnasat orchim and lilavot ha'orchim. Technically, lilavot ha'orchim means to accompany them. Okay? Ulihitasek b'chol tzarchei ha'kfura, laseit ha'katev, etc., lispor, lispor, likvor, v'chein l'sameach ha'kala v'ha'chatan, right? Making them happy at a wedding might is a mitzvah drabanon, and supporting them. And here the Rambam says, ve'elu hein gimilut chasadim shebigufo she'ein lahem shiur. Right? This is classic. All these things don't have a minimum or a maximum, presumably because they don't involve money. They're mitzvat asei shebigufo. So if you be menachem of one person, it's a mitzvah. If you're menachem of 50 people, it's more, right? There's no minimum or maximum. That's more or less the mission we say every morning, right? In Peah, Eilu Devarim She'ein Lahem Shiur. Okay, and then there's a list. So says the Rambam, this is a list of Gemilut Chasadim mitzvot that are all drabanan. And then he says, Afal pi shekol mitzvot Eilu midivrehen, harehen bichlal v'ahavta l'reacha kamolcha. What does that mean? Ram translates. Kol ha-divarim sha'ata rotze she'ya'asu otam l'cha acherim. Anything you would want done to you, ase ata otam l'achicha b'torah u'v'mitzvot. You should do to or for someone else. So even within the same Rambam, he says, here's a list of drabanans. Oh, by the way, each of them individually is a drabanan. But when done properly, they are also a mitzvah d'oraisa of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So that's pretty fascinating because the Rambam says, here's a list of drabanans, but he says, in the end, they're all part of a mitzvah d'oraisa of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha. So that's interesting in and of itself. My understanding is, I think we've talked about this before, you know, each individual act, the act of nichum aveilim, the act of bikur cholim, if you do the act, you got a mitzvah drabanan. My sense is, but if you do it because you really care for the other person and you do it out of a sense of love for your fellow Jew, it bumps it up a level and it's no longer just a mitzvah drabanan of nichum aveilim, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Okay, so you can make the argument very simply once that hachnasas orchim technically, narrowly, is a drabanan, but when done properly, it's a mitzvah saseh of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Okay?
So, Eli, what's missing in the fact that you do it individually, that it's only a drabanan?
No, I know. It's not individually versus communally. It's there. Let's put it this way. You take dalet minim. Right? Not because you're properly motivated. You did because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Torah says you have to do it. Right? So you do it. Okay, that act constitutes a mitzvah d'oraisa of dalad meaning. Okay, somebody tells you, you know, this guy on your block is sitting shiva. Okay, you're a frum guy. You go, you're menachem avalim. You say something, you say hamakom, and you leave. And you were yotze, and you got a mitzvah d'rabbanan. My sense is, but when you say to yourself, wow, he must be in pain. You know, if I was in his situation, I would want people to try to comfort me. I'm going to go to his house. You know, maybe I'll bring something. I'll stay a few minutes. My sense is you can, in the way that you, if you go, you got a mitzvah d'rabbanan. But if you go with a certain attitude, right, and you're really moved by that feeling, forget the mitzvah d'rabbanan. That's v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. That's my reading of the Rambam. Okay? So, again, as just an introduction to the halachic part, of, you know, if you ask the question, hachnasas orchim, the answer is mitzvah d'rabbanan. But when done a certain way, like other mitzvahs d'rabbanan, it could become a mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay, now the next Rambam is narrower. Now he's really focused on our mitzvah, and now we get to the question of hachnasas orchim versus levayat orchim, right? Levaya is to accompany, which sadly, that's why in Hebrew, a funeral is a levaya, because you accompany the body. Says the Rambam Halacha Bet, schar halvaya meruba min hakol. The part of hachnasas orchim that's most valuable is accompanying the guest when they leave your house. V'hu hachok shechekako Avraham Avinu v'derech hacheset shenahagba. And this is the rule that Avraham Avinu established, and this is the way he behaved. Ma'achil ovrei drachim. Okay, he gives food to travelers. U'mashke otan, u'malve otan. And he gives drink, and then he accompanies them. The Ram is now quoting the Gemara we saw in Shabbos Kuf Chav Zayin. Shenemar vayar vihine shlosha anashim ulevayam yoter mehachnasatan, and accompanying them is more valuable than bringing them in. Amru chachamim kol sheino malve ki ilu shofech damim. Okay, if you don't accompany them, it's like you spilled blood. It's hard to really understand that line unless you think of it as some form of
Egla Arufa.
Right. The case of Egla Arufa, where we're concerned that people didn't accompany the guests and therefore they were seen as being culpable in their deaths. I suppose I struggle with this because, you know, you have guests over in Teaneck. You have to walk them out. Is there anybody in danger? So I suppose that in the old days, if you lived in the desert, you know, people were lost. And okay, they found you and you gave them something to eat, but to just send them off defeats the purpose, right? You have to give them directions. You have to stand outside and show them, you know, where the next place is to go. Otherwise, again, you were yotze, you gave them food, but you haven't really helped them. Okay, that's my sense. It happens to be that the halacha remains on the books, and people should know this, that you're supposed to accompany your guest to the front door, a few steps beyond, you know, maybe it's formal, but sometimes it feels substantive, right? If somebody walks you to the door, it leaves you with a better feeling than if people just, you know, people just send you out while they're sitting at the table. So, you know, technically speaking, and I think as a matter of interpersonal relations, it could really well be that there's a value to walking people to the door. Okay. Let's move on. We've seen that it's a drabanan, maybe it's a d'oraisa. We've seen that it's more important than hakpalat pnei ashkina. Now let's ask ourselves the fundamental question. We'll ask two questions. The first is, what type of mitzvah is hachnasas orchim? And by that I mean, there are two types of mitzvot aseh, generally speaking. Okay, one is called a mitzvah chiyuvit or chiyuvis, which means it's absolutely obligatory. Shofar on Rosh Hashanah, lulav on Sukkos, matzah on Pesach, kiddush on Shabbos, right? These things are not contingent in any way. When the date comes, you have to do it. Tefillin every day. You know, there's a whole bunch of mitzvahs like that. Then there are mitzvahs that are circumstantial, right? We talk about it from time to time. If, God forbid, you don't have a house, you're potter in the mitzvah of mezuzah. If your house doesn't have a porch from which people can fall, you're potter in the mitzvah of ma'akeh. Nobody thinks you have to buy a house with a porch so that you can build a ma'akeh. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. If it happens to be that you're in that situation, you have to do it. You can ask the same question with respect to tzedakah, I suppose, right? Nobody knocks on your door. Nobody asks for tzedakah. It's not clear to me. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not true that if you didn't give tzedakah one day, you aren't mevatel a mitzvah saseh. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. When you're in the situation where somebody needs tzedakah, you have to give it to him. So the question is whether hachnasas archim is a mitzvah that you're supposed to chase after, or hachnasas archim is a mitzvah that when it comes to you, when you hear about somebody in the shul, when your neighbor calls up and says, I'm making sheva brachos, I need a place for, you know, then you have to do it. But if not, you don't. So what do we see from the story of Avraham? So source number 5 seems to push us in the direction of Avraham chasing after guests in a way that makes it sound like it's a mitzvah chiyuvis, that he was like genuinely worried if there were no guests. Gemara in Bav Mitzia Pei Vav Amid Bet, where my cursor is, Vayirai Lav Hashem Be'elonim Amrei B'hu Yoshev Petachol Kechom Hayom, Mai Kechom Hayom. What does it mean? Generally speaking, I don't have to make this observation also. The Torah doesn't often give us a weather report. In fact, when I read Pesukim, I always assume it's like 72 and sunny. That's just, you know, it never dawned on me that it rained at Har Sinai or that, you know, when Avraham was walking around Eretz Yisrael, it was bad weather. I assume that could have been. But all of a sudden, you come to the story, and Chazal noticed that it says, we get a weather report. You know, it was 102 degrees and sunny. So the Gemara says, Am Rav Cham of Rav Chanina, Oso Hayom Yom Shlishi Shel Mila Shel Avraham Haya. It was the third day after the Bris Mila, which we know, interestingly, from the story in Shechem, is supposed to be the day that's most painful. I don't know if medicine proves that out, but that's what the story of Shechem tells us. Uba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishol BaAvraham. God came to visit Avraham. Hotzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chama Minar Tika Kidei Shelo Yatriach Oto Tzadik Borchim. So God, you know, literally took the sun out of its enclosure, meaning it was scorching hot, so that there would be no guests, so Avraham wouldn't have to care for them. Shadre LeEliezer LeMeifak Libra. He sent his servant Eliezer to look outside to find guests. Nafak v'lo ashkach. He went out. He couldn't find any. Amar, Avram says to him, lo mehem nolach. I don't believe you. There must be guests somewhere. You know, keep looking. So people quote this Gemara as a source for it seems like, you know, Avraham was actively chasing after guests as if he didn't find guests, he would have done something wrong. You know, that's not so bothersome to me. I just think it's possible to say Avram Avinu was Avram Avinu. He was the biggest Baal Chesed ever. And even though it's not the halacha, he felt the need to chase after guests. Okay, so, you know, maybe it's a proof, maybe it's not. But, it raises the issue, which I find fascinating, of what type of mitzvah is this? So the classic example of a mitzvah that's not a chiyuv, but which we treat as a chiyuv, is tzitzis. Look at source number 6. First of all, let's just back up for a second. Everybody knows that if you're wearing a four-cornered garment, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to put tzitzis on it. Okay? What if you're not? You don't. Although the halacha developed that we obligate ourselves, right, by wearing a four-cornered garment, and therefore we're chayiv in tzitzis. Here's the famous Gemara, source number 6, Menachos Memalef Amad Aleph. Ashkechei l'Rav Ketina d'mechsi sedina. They went to visit Rav Ketina, who was wearing some kind of silk sheet, but the understanding is it didn't have four corners. Amale, Ketina, Ketina, sedina bekaita, if you wear this kind of garment in the summer, visarbala visitva, and you wear this other kind of garment that also doesn't have four corners during the winter, sitzis shel tcheles mate aleha, Well, when are you going to wear tzitzis? Amalei. So Katina says to them, Anishto aase. Wait, I'm going to get punished for not being a mekayim a mitzvah sase. Right? The unstated part of this is, wait, tzitzis is a conditional mitzvah. Why would I possibly be punished? I'm not wearing a four-cornered garment. There's no way I could be punished for that. It's not like I didn't sit in a sukkah on sukkah. So it's not like I didn't eat matzah on Pesach. I didn't hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah. No, this is conditional. It's like mezuzah. It's like ma'akeh. Answered the other Amoraim Amalei, Bizman de'ika rischa anshinan. Technically speaking, Katina, you're right. You're not obligated. But Bizman de'ika rischa, when God gets angry, anshinan, then God will punish you and all of us for not wearing a four-cornered garment. So that's pretty strong. Because again, tzitzis is seen as a conditional mitzvah. Tzitzis is a mitzvah kiyumis. If you're wearing a four-cornered garment, then you have to wear tzitzis. And here the Gemara seems to be saying that Katina will be punished, not now, but at a time when God gets angry and is looking for a reason to punish us, that's when we're going to pay a price, or you're going to pay a price for not wearing tzitzis, even though technically speaking, you're not chayav. The sense I get is, again, there's halacha and then there are values. The sense I get is, it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to wear tzitzis. It's true that it's a mitzvah kiyumis, and technically speaking, if you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, you don't have to wear tzitzis. But nevertheless, the sense you get is that it's important. Now, would this carry over to Achnasas Archim? You know, would we now say that every week you have to post, you know, to Teaneck Shuls or whatever, saying, I can host this many people for Shabbos, and you have to run around looking for guests like that? So, I don't think so. It's pretty easy, let's say, to dismiss or to distinguish the case of tzitzis in one of two ways. One way to do it is to say that tzitzis, we all know, is keneged tarag mitzvos, right? The point of wearing tzitzis is it reminds us of tarag mitzvos and it reminds us of God. So to not wear tzitzis is a much bigger statement about my relationship to God and my relationship to mitzvos, because I'm saying basically, I don't need or I don't want to have a reminder all day long of my relationship with God. Okay, so it's very easy to say, yes, the Gemara seems to say that you're supposed to wear tzitzis, even though it's not obligatory, but that doesn't really impact our case of Achnasas Archim, because wearing tzitzis is much more fundamental to my relationship with God than is Achnasas Archim. A second possibility is simply this. Everybody wears clothes, right? So when you choose to not wear tzitzis, it's not just that you're not wearing tzitzis, right? You're actively trying to avoid a mitzvah. And there's a difference between actively trying to avoid a mitzvah, which God gets angry about, and the fact that, okay, it simply didn't happen that I was in a position to do the mitzvah. You know, in our situation, it would mean, you know, if you saw a person in shul, and you knew that that person needed a place for Shabbos, or that person needed a meal, and you went out the other door, okay, that might change the situation. Because now it's not just that you happen to not have any guests, it's that you're actively avoiding having this person as a guest. Mashal Mahadavar Doma. And here, you know, maybe I'm going beyond, but something I've been thinking about lately that comes up from time to time. Let's say, you have breakfast. You happen to not eat any bread for breakfast. Nobody thinks you did anything wrong that you didn't bench over breakfast. Okay? But then lunch is pizza. And you, even though this probably isn't halacha, you were brought up to believe that one slice, I don't have to wash, I don't have to bench. Two slices, I have to wash and I have to bench. Now, you'd really like to eat the second slice, you know, but the thought of benching is horrible. Who wants to bench? It's like 3.5 minutes. And so you don't eat the second slice of pizza because you don't want to bench. that may really be a problem. Because there you're actively avoiding a mitzvah saseh. You know, v'achalta v'savata v'arachta is a mitzvah saseh. So again, nobody thinks it's a mitzvah chiyuvi. Nobody thinks if you didn't bench today, you've done something wrong. But a lot of people think it'd be nice if you did bench every day. It'd be nice, you know, the halacha worked out in a way that we, you know, you only bench if you ate bread. By the way, when Mashiach comes, this is the first halacha he's going to fix. You should just know. Everybody has in mind he's going to fix this and this issue and that. First thing he's going to do is say, when you go to a men's club kiddush in congregation Pnei Yeshurun, you better wash before, you better bench after. Or better, no, I don't think he'll say that. He'll just say, when you before you leave, you have to bench because you ate a lot. It's clear. But okay, so there's a difference between avoiding, you know, not being in a circumstance where you're doing the mitzvah, which I think is probably fine, and the worst case, which is actively avoiding the mitzvah. And there, you know, I think it's problematic. Let's look at a similar example. We talked about one of the examples of a mitzvah ki yumis, where you don't have to do it, it's circumstantial. One of those examples was mezuzah. But there are interesting halachas relating to mezuzah. Look at source number 7. Here's the Mechaber in Hilchos Mezuzah, Reish Pei Zayin. Bayit sheyesh lo mezuzah. I guess I should scroll down. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Bayit sheyesh lo mezuzah mikan umikan. Technically speaking, mezuzah means the doorpost, so it has two doorposts. V'kipa kimin keshet al shtea mezuzot b'makom ha-mashkoz. Rather than having this, the lintel, the classic doorpost, it's arched. Okay, so the question is, what's the din with respect to mezuzah? Im yesh begova ha-mezuzot yutfachim o yoter chayav. So the halacha is, if each of the doorposts is at least 10 tfachim, you're chayav. And if it's not, v'im ein bo yutfachim patur. Mipnei she'ein lo mashkov. Right? Because your door is arched, you need 10 tefachim on the sides, because without that, it's not chayav and mezuzah. So many people point out the obvious, which is, if you happen to have that kind of door in your house, and it happens to not be 10 tefachim high, so you're potter b'mezuzah. But if you find out that halacha and you go, wow, what an easy way to save money. I just need to have arches and not have my doors be 10 tefachim, and I don't have to buy mezuzahs. So that's not the situation we're talking about. In that case, it's offensive. In that case, you're trying to avoid the mitzvah of mezuzah. And that's problematic. So again, it's another example where, of course, the mitzvah mezuzah is conditional, but it has to be conditional in a way that's just, it happened to work out that way. But if you try to have arched doorways and shorter entrances so that you can get out of the mezuzah, it's clear then that, as we said with respect to tzitzis, you know, be'idan rischa and shinan le, right? You didn't do anything wrong. That is the halacha. But if you built a house that way to get out of mezuzah, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets offended by that. Now, something interesting, it's unrelated to, but since we're in that Simon anyway, there's a Ramah here. One of the hallmarks of the Ramah, if you ever read stuff about the Ramah, which, since I'm talking about this, you know that I did this week, you know, the Ramah's respect for Minhagim is one of the reasons that he wrote the Ramah. He felt like that, you know, that the Polish Minhagim had been squeezed out by the Mechaber, not just the Polish Poskim. And so he was known as a big fan of Minhagim. But he was a bigger fan of halacha. So here's the Ramah. Same simon. V'chol shekein petach she'ein lo gova asara tvachim depatu mimezuzah. Okay. Now he says, ha-minhag nit pashet b'medinot elu, which means, you know, Krakow and Poland. Derov olam somchim al mezuzah achat she'osin al petach batehem. He says, you walk around Krakow, you go into people's houses, it turns out, they have a mezuzah on their front door, and that's it. That's the minhag. And says the Rama, ve'eino nachon. It's wrong. Ve'ein lahem al masha yismochu. They have no sources. Lachain, kol yirei shamayim yitakein beito kidino b'chol haptachim achayavim. The Rama says, it's not a minhag if everybody does something that's against halacha. That's not called a minhag. And so he's calling out his own balabatim. He's saying, listen, I've been to your house for Shabbos, and you got to have mezuzahs on all the doors that are chayav and mezuzah. You can't simply rely on the front door. Okay, so basically what we've made it to is, it is the case that hachnasas orchim probably is a mitzvah kiyumis. It probably is a mitzvah that is circumstantial. But it depends, right? If you're avoiding it, then you're like Katina with respect to tzitzis, or you're like people who build a house to try to get out of building doing the mitzvah mezuzah, and that's problematic. It's not problematic halachically as much as it's problematic from a value standpoint. Because we know, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim to be done. And if it's not done, I think he gets upset. Not that I know these things. Let's ask another question, which maybe we'll have a good answer for, maybe we won't. Let's say you live in Efrat, okay? And, you know, thank God, your neighbors seem to be comfortable and they have homes. Is it a mitzvah achnasas orchim to invite over a neighbor who has his own house, has his own food, has a lovely Shabbos table, right? Is there an argument that's a mitzvah achnasas orchim? So my instinct is, it's not, but we should still do it. And now I come back to a point Jackie made at the beginning. Look at source number 8. There's another value to hachnasas orchim that's unrelated to the ahavta l'recha kamocha and unrelated to the narrow mitzvah drabon of hachnasas orchim. And that is, again, a values-based idea of trying to be godlike or trying to imitate God. Source number 8. Here's the Gemara in Sota. Va'amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina. Va'amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina. Mai dichsiv acharei Hashem alokechem teilechu. What does it mean to walk after God? V'chiyav shalo la'adam lahalocha ha'shchina. Can a person walk after the Shechina? V'alo kvanem ki Hashem alokecha eisho chlahu. God is an all-consuming fire. So what is it? Ella lehalocha chai midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, we want to follow God's attributes. Mahu malbish arubim. God clothes the naked as he did for Adam and Chava. We should be the same. Mahu mevaker cholim. I'm skipping a little bit. As he did when he visited Avram, the first pasuk in this week's parsha. Afata baker cholim. Mahu HaKadosh Baruch Hu nichem avelim. As he did to Yitzchak after Avraham died, so to you. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu kover meisim, as he did when he buried Moshe Rabbeinu, so to you. Last three lines. Darash Rabbi Simlai Torah, tchilasa gemilus chasadim, v'sofa gemilus chasadim. The Torah opens with gemilus chasadim, the Torah ends with gemilus chasadim. Tchilasa gemilus chasadim, d'chsi v'yas Hashem alokim l'adam u'lishto kosnos or v'yal b'shem. God clothed Adam and Chava in Gan Eden. V'sofa gemilus chasadim dichsiv vayikbor oto bagai. And the end of it is gemilus chasadim, as the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe. Okay? So all of a sudden, there's another path to looking at values. Hachnasas Orchim is a part of Gemilus Chasadim. And here's how the Rambam, in Latin it's called Imitat Yodei, in Hebrew it's called Lehidamot B'Darkei Hashem. Here's Mitzvah Sasein number 8, and source number 9, V'amitzvah Shminit hi, Shetzivanu Lehidamot Bo Yitale, Lefi Yecholteinu. We are supposed to act like God as much as we can. V'hu Amaro V'halachta B'drachav. That's why the Mitzvah is to walk in his path. Ubab Ferush Gamkein in the Gmarv Sota, Shein Yano Lihidamot Bipulot Hatovot, Vihidamot והמידות החשובות שיתואר בהם הקל יתעלה על צד המשל יתעלה על הכל עילוי רב. We are commanded to try to acquire the character traits by which God is described in the Torah. So what's going on? Whatever we see God do in the Torah in a positive way, as a reward for people, right? That's what we're supposed to do. So on the one hand, technically speaking, we don't have achnasas orchim being done by God, right? It's, you know, we don't have, like, when Moshe went up to Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, that God did achnasas orchim. In fact, the Medrash says that he didn't eat or he didn't drink. But we see, especially if we go backwards, that it's the case that gadol achnasas orchim mi hakbalat pnei hashchina, we see that it's something that God wants of us. And so if we expand a little bit the definition of the mitzvah of lidamot b'darchei Hashem, of being godlike, we can include within that mitzvah not just the narrow acts that are described in the Torah but that God did, but acts that are described in the Torah that God supports. And it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu supported the hachnasas orchim of Avram Avinu, especially if we paskin, right, that the word Adonai in the Pasuk actually meant Hashem, in which case God actually waited for Avraham to deal with them with the guests. So now if we go back to the beginning, you know, again, it's a mitzvah drabanan to be machnes archim. If done a certain way, it's a mitzvah del raisa of yohavta l'recha kamocha. If done a different way or additional way, it's a mitzvah del raisa of lehidamot bidarkei Hashem. Okay? That I think, and you know, so what we're seeing is sort of the difference between a narrow halacha and a value. When you find a Torah value, again, I don't even think it's that important to find the halachic source, but here we found a number of halachic sources for achnasas orchim. Now, to come back to our example then, about inviting your neighbor who's not in need, you know, he has his own family, he has his own house, he doesn't need any of that. You have to ask ourselves, and I think we should ask ourselves, is it good for the community? Is it good for a feeling of belonging, right? Are there people who you could make feel better about themselves by inviting them over? They're not homeless. They don't need the invitation. But, you know, there may be a sense of sharing of values, of sharing Torah. And here we come to the end and something really interesting. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in source number 10, Halacha Lamaisa, Kuf Samach Gimel, in Choshen Mishpat, v'kofin b'nei ha'ir zeh et zeh lehachnis orchim ulechalek lahem tzedaka v'litein b'toch kis shel tzedaka. The community can force people to do achnasas orchim and to give tzedaka and to do other things. But I find that fascinating. It's a communal value that's so critical that when you move someplace, you know, the mayor, I don't know, the board of the shul, they announce, listen, everybody needs to invite guests over. Or they have a, you know, they call you up with a name and they require you to invite this person over. That's the din. Now, you know, it seems a bit exaggerated. It's true, technically speaking, Bezdin's kofin al mitzvah saseis. You know, we don't really have that the shul can break into your house and make you shut off your computer on Shabbos. But here we have the shul or the community can force you to have guests.
Isn't that close to Egla? Isn't that close to Egla Rufa at Debbie's point?
I don't think so. Egla Rufa is because you didn't take care of the person. Ah, so you're saying like on a communal level, maybe.
Right, meaning it's a based in type of communal responsibility. That's
so. I agree completely. It's at the core of what a community is, and I have a proof from this week's parsha. We don't think about it in these terms, but you know, once you start looking, you find everything. And it turns out that there are two examples.
Isn't that the sin of stone?
Yeah, there are two examples. Debbie, maybe you should give the shiur. There are two examples of achnasas orchim, right? One positive and one negative. And here, if you look at the Ramban on stone, you see an incredible thing. Hopefully, Debbie. come. Vayikru elot vayomru lo ayeho anashim. People come. Vayikru elot vayomru lo ayeho anashim asher bo'u elecha halayla. Hotziyem eleinu v'neida'a otam. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody, but the simple pshat is, we want you to send them to us. We will rape them. That's what it means. V'neida'a otam. That's pretty horrific stuff. Okay? Stom were, you know, the amongst the worst people you can imagine. And many, many, many Isurei Torah. Gil Arash V'chastam Avodah Zarah. But watch the Ramban. Ramaz is V'neida Otam. Kavanatam L'chalot et haregel mibeinehem. The purpose behind Stom was to stop guests, to stop immigration, to stop people from coming, to stop poor people. Kidivrei Rabotenu. Ki chashvu sheba'avur tovat artsam shehi kigan Hashem yavou sham rabim. They lived in a beautiful gated community, you know, with beautiful lawns and trees. It was beautiful. And they thought to themselves, you know, a lot of people are going to want to come here and live here. Vehem hayu mo'asei atztaka. And they hated, or they were opponents of charity. Valdad rabotenu hayu bohem kol midot ra'ot. You know, they did everything possible wrong. Aval nigmar dinam al oto ha'avon. But in the end, Stone was destroyed because of its opposition to Achnasas Orchim. Mipnei shelo hechziku yad ani ve'ebyon. It's staggering. They did Avodah Zarah, they killed people, they raped people. I believe the Ramban is as offended by rape, you know, as anybody. But he says that's not what got them killed. And I think part of the pshat is that, okay, rape is sexual deviancy. It's horrible. And so these other things. But it's kind of the garden variety evil taken to its highest level. But to establish a community and establish rules, and the rules are to keep out guests and to not allow for any support of poor people, and to, you know, and to outlaw charity. That's why God destroyed Sodom. Ki ayu tidirim ba'oto avon yoter mikulam. They were known for that sin. V'gam kol ha'amim osim tzedakot im reyehem v'im aniyehem lo haya b'kol ha'goyim kistom la'achzariyut. He doesn't mean there aren't other cities that worship Avodah Zarah or do Gilu Arayos. He says, but to have a city, to establish a city and have a rule, no charity, no guests, no support for poor people. He says, you've created a tarbut ra'a. You've created an evil society. And it's shocking because there is no other example that I'm aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying a city, a town, anything. You know, obviously the Mabul. But, you know, the assumption always is, okay, it's the big three. It's Gil Arayos, the Shvichos Dam, and Avodah Zarah. The answer is no. A community that has no ethic of giving. And I remember, I think about this from time to time, you know, like, I don't know if it still exists, like the Teaneck Stucca thing. So on the one hand, you need it, because otherwise, you know, it never stops. On the other hand, you don't want to live in a place that's against tzedakah, God forbid. And not that, maybe that's not the best example. But, you know, it is an issue. And so I think at the very end, you know, look at the Parsha, right? This Avraham, there's the psukim describing Avraham in his old age, in his illness, running around like crazy to do Achnasas Orchim. And the next town over, the you know, the sign outside of the town says, you know, we're Sodom, no charity, you know, no Achnasas Orchim, none of that. And Hidraman, that's what did them in. And so to come back to where we start, of course, Achnasas Orchim is a mitzvah. But it matters less. Meaning, no one says, wait, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Sodom because they were mevatel a mitzvah d'rabbanon of Achnasas Orchim? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed Sodom because they were corrupt. Because Achnasas Orchim is not just allowing, having guests. The halachic description of Achnasas Orchim matters much less than the value. The Torah devoted all this time to the story of Avraham and to the story of Sodom to say, doesn't matter if it's a doraisa or a drabanan. It's what God wants. And that's why the halacha says communities can make up rules about Achnasas Orchim. Communities can require Achnasas Orchim. And that's why communities in which people invite each other over from shul are generally more religious, and I say religious in the most valuable way. These people share values, they sing together, they share divrei Torah, they care for each other. I don't know if technically it's achnasas orchim in the definition of the mitzvah, but I don't need to know. I know it's the right behavior. I know it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, and whether it's the drabanan of achnasas orchim, the deoraisa of v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, or the deoraisa of imitating God, either way, Sefer Bereishis exists to teach us values, and one of the critical values in Sefer Bereishis is Hachnasas Arfin. All right, I think that's all I got. Yashikosh to everybody.